It's the Utes and the Ducks in a huge Pac-12 showdown. You're listening to an extended edition of the Ute Pregame Show, presented by the Utah FTW 360 app. For all the latest on the Utes, download the app today. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Happy game day, everybody. Scott Girard, Hans Olsen, and look who's hanging out with us on a game day. It's Frank Dolce, folks. As we count you down to kickoff, it's your Ute pregame show, an extended pregame show, as the Utes taking on the Oregon Ducks, and nobody does it bigger, nobody does it better than all of us here on the KSL Sports Zone, because we're taking this pregame show and we're ramping it to an 11.
Happy game day, Frank. How you feeling?
I feel even better than I did earlier this week when we talked about this particular football game. I think things are trending the right way for Utah.
So you're feeling the energy.
Yeah, I feel the energy.
The fan base is definitely a buzz. It's incredible. You can feel it. It's palpable. You can feel the energy in the air today.
Yeah.
It is really exciting, almost exciting enough to get me to sway the other way too.
Oh, we'll talk about that as we gave our predictions earlier the week on our U Preview show, which we do every Thursday from 1 to 3. But game day obviously blew it up. It was fun. It was awesome. The crowd is, everybody's juiced up and ready to go. But, Frank, ultimately, you can be as excited as you want, but you still have to play a really good Oregon team, and this is a really, really good Oregon team. Let's talk about Bo Nix. You're a quarterback. Mm-hmm. We kind of scoffed when Bo Nix left Auburn and thought, okay, whatever, he's just a dude. And then he was great last year, and then this year he's taken it to a whole nother level. I mean, this guy's playing out of his mind. 19 touchdowns, only one interception on the season.
Yeah. I think that's what we thought Bo Nix was going to be at Oregon, super flashy and athletic with the propensity to turn the ball over.
Yeah, yep.
And whatever they've done with him at Oregon and whatever Coach Lanning has done with him and the confidence they've instilled in him, the transformation has been significant because he's making good decisions with the football. He's super athletic. He's a great leader. He's gritty. And he's not putting his team in bad situations. And with the way that Dan Lanning has built that football team with all of the talent that Bo Nix has around him, that is just a formidable force in the Pac-12. In fact, even with that loss at Washington, I still pick Oregon as Utah's most difficult test for the remaining schedule.
Above Washington.
Above Washington. No question. I think Washington, with the way that Penix plays quarterback, that Utah can impose its defensive will on that offense. Bo Nix makes that much more difficult.
Yeah, and so does the running back just behind him in Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving makes it really difficult. But just to stay on the Bo Nix trend for a second, mm-hmm. is he in the top three right now in Heisman conversations? Would he be in the Heisman conversation with Penix
and Williams?
I feel like Caleb's out.
I kind of feel like that too. Who are you putting in? Who else are you putting in there? Hartman?
Yeah.
Would you put Hartman in there? If it's those three, I would put Nix in that conversation. But for him to continue in that conversation, I think he has to beat Utah. Like, that's gonna be his thing. If Bo Nix, let's just say Bo Nix and Oregon go undefeated the rest of the year, find themselves in the Pac-12 championship game, I think then no question Bo Nix is Heisman candidate.
Right now, your current leader is J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. Forgot about him. And then Michael Penix. And then you go Jaden Daniels at LSU, Jordan Travis from Florida State, Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma, and then you get to Bo Nix.
I like Gabriel. I don't think those other guys really fit in there. I mean, J.J. McCarthy is he a Heisman Trophy guy?
I mean, right now he's got the best Vegas odds.
That's interesting.
Well, it's Michigan, and, you know,
yeah.
it's –
I've got Nick's.
Maybe it's just because we don't see him enough.
I've got Nick's second right now below Penix.
So you would put Penix ahead of Nick's?
Yes.
Penix had a stinker last week, though.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a terrible
game. But with that being said, Bo Nix knows that he could cement being in one of those three chairs during that ceremony by putting up big numbers today on the biggest network, on the biggest stage with game day here. He knows it. He knows what stage he has.
Against the best defense in the Pac-12.
Yes,
that is the key.
Yep. So he's coming out. I've got to imagine that he's just running on high octane, just high energy coming into this game. I actually think that makes him more susceptible to making a potential mistake, wanting to push it maybe.
Trying to do too much. It could be, and Utah has forced quarterbacks into that scenario this year.
Yeah.
That's a terrific defense. So, yeah, Bo Nix certainly in the Heisman conversation. I think what happens today will help determine where he ends up.
Hans, if you're Morgan Scali, what do you do defensively against Bo Nix? What do you show? Because he does have the ability to run. He can get outside the pocket. He can hurt you with his feet. What do you scheme up against him? How do you try to slow him down in this offense?
You know, they really rushed four against USC.
Yes. Yep.
They really did not get overly creative. And I want everybody to understand that my film review of Utah-USC really presented four that didn't have a true pass rush, four that stayed in lanes and tried to press because they didn't want Caleb Williams to beat them with their feet. So I think it's a similar game plan. I don't think you want it to be as ordinary as it was against USC because I don't want Dan Lanning and Bo Nix to be able to pick up something with what they're doing defensively. So maybe throw a couple of more kinks at them, but I think you plug gaps in your rushing. I think you rush safe. I don't think you rush with your head off. You put one guy with a head off rushing. You give Jonah Ellis that assignment, or you give maybe Connor O'Toole that assignment, but you make everybody else rush conservative.
The other interesting thing about this Oregon team offensively is that I felt like, one, Utah started to take the run away against USC, but also USC abandoned the run in that game. I think Dan Lanning and Oregon are much more committed to the run game. And so they create difficulties with a balanced, more balanced offensive attack that Utah has to face. And so it's not just trying to keep a quarterback in their sights and in a box and not able to get outside and create explosive plays, but you also have to worry about managing productivity on first down with a guy like Irving in the backfield. Like, he can rip off a 6-yard run
easy
on first down, and that puts you right behind the gate. Like, so
they've got an athletic offensive line.
And they have an athletic offensive line, and they have a very good wide receiver group led by Franklin. Like, I think this offensive attack is much more balanced and much more committed to being balanced than what Utah faced a week ago.
So let's flip the script a little bit. Let's talk about the Utah offense going up against the Oregon defense. This is a defense that doesn't force a lot of turnovers, but they do get off the field in third downs. And Utah's offense has certainly showed signs of life against USC. And the conversation we had on Thursday, and I think it's a conversation that, you know, Hans and I, we talked about yesterday on Football Friday as well. Can Utah's offense continue to put up the same productivity that they did against USC, but do it against a much better defense in Oregon that's only given up 17 points a game?
Well, I think that's the biggest struggle that they've got right now. And I think that Bryson Barnes was great against that USC defense and dynamic, got the rushing touchdown, had the 25-yard rush to get them into field goal position. I just feel like Oregon is tougher, and I feel like they're more well-coached on the defensive side than USC. So I think that's a bigger challenge for them. I also think they now have a couple of game films of Sione Vaki to go off of. Not just one, but a couple. They've seen a at least an open part of the playbook when it comes to Sione Vaki and Jaquindon Jackson in the backfield, or a combination of Bryson Barnes and Jaquindon, or a combination of Bryson Barnes and Sione. They've seen enough that they know what they've got to do in coverages and protections and in gap stoppage. So I think that really helps Oregon. Plus, they got a better defense. So I think that they're able to keep that score lower than USC was. Probably by a mark. Probably by two scores. Maybe a touchdown and a field goal. I think that they are able to keep them just a little bit lower.
The key for Utah offensively against Oregon is, it's always a thing, but this week especially, I think, is first down productivity. If you get into a situation where you're you have to assume Oregon's going to make as much as they can Utah one-dimensional by trying everything they can to take the run away and put the game on the shoulders of Bryson Barnes. But if you can be if you can have productivity on first down and the ability to open up your playbook on second down, and now you keep Oregon a little bit on their heels. Like, okay, Utah can run or pass. Yeah. We can't necessarily make them one-dimensional. If Utah's not productive on first down, it's like helping Oregon make their one-dimensional defensive scheme.
I think they can be. I know kind of the way I'm feeling about this game, but with Jaquindon Jackson and the downhill dude he is, and the addition of Sione, who's a wrinkle, and then you've got Money and Mikey
Matthews. That's right.
It's actually a first down offense. I think that they can get you into a second and five or a second and four on, even against this Oregon team, they can get you into that on occasion.
If they can, that is a marker of success for Utah. I typically think, a lot of us do think, third down conversions are one of the, it's like one of my top three stats in every game. I still believe that. But for Utah this week, it's essential first down productivity to be able to get yourself into a situation where you're third and two, third and one, third and really manageable.
Well, and nothing would be better for Utah in this game than, I mean, obviously putting points on the board any way you can is important, but boy, it'd be great to have a 14-play, 6.5-minute touchdown drive and sprinkle in three of those and really, you know, try to carve up as much time of possession as you can possibly use.
Anything you can to keep that Oregon offense off the field. And then when Oregon is on the field, I mean, it has to be grinding for every yard. Force them into long drives deep from their own territory. I mean, Hans, you said it earlier in the week, and I think that I'm starting to buy into that a little bit more, is like Utah has to make this a street fight.
Yeah.
An alley fight.
Got to make it really ugly.
Yeah, for Oregon.
Because Oregon will out-pretty this Utah offense. They've got a more pretty offense. They can, unless Utah turns this into just ugliness and pulls Oregon into things they don't want to be in.
You remember Gianni Paul?
Oh yeah,
Utah's great linebacker. Undersized. No one gave him a chance. You know, he didn't run well. He didn't have great athleticism. Bad hips. All the things. He didn't have anything, except he was a great linebacker. It felt like every game, somewhere in the first quarter, Gianni Paul was going out of bounds to lay somebody out.
Yeah.
To set the tone of the game.
Yeah.
And that was the tone of the game.
I remember that.
So it almost feels like where is Gianni Paul to make this one ugly, a little bit ugly for Oregon?
I thought you were going to go further back with Joe Gianni.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Giannone?
Joe Giannone.
But
he was
he was another guy.
You know who else? Jared Norris used to do that.
There's been some characters on the
But they fit the Kyle Whittingham MO, though.
I mean,
that's the Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah.
and to muddy up a game, to ugly the game, and keep that offense off the field. And honestly, I think that's, you know, you, Anz, you said you keep this game in the 20s, you got yourself a fighting chance here.
Yeah, that's where Utah, if Utah wins this game, it's Utah 28, Oregon 24. It's, I don't think Utah, I don't think Utah gets to the 30s. Unless they have a defensive score, I don't think they make it to the 30s. So they're going to have to do what Frank said, just muddy it up, muck it up, make it an absolute dogfight and a mess, and keep Oregon under 30 points. And then you've got a shot in this game.
If Utah gets,
Oregon's defense is just too good. They're too much better than USC.
Okay, with that in mind, if Utah gets to 30, does Utah win?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the marker, too. Because I think Utah defensively can hold Oregon under that 30 mark. And so that's where Utah has to be. I don't think it's significantly under the 30, but under 30.
Player to keep a real close eye on, Lavonnie DeMooney in this game, filling in for Lander Barton. And again, we you know, look, Lander Barton is a special player. He's probably going to be playing on Sunday someday. You just don't replace a guy like that player for player. But if Lavonnie DeMooney can come on, play well, which he's certainly more than capable of, this guy was a leading tackler and a captain at Stanford. This guy's, you know, he's no Joe Schmuckatelli. He's a really good player. He may not be Lander Barton, but he's a player to keep an eye on today.
In lots of different Pac-12 schools, DeMooney would be the starter.
Oh, yeah. Yep. 100%. And a key starter.
Yeah. So I have no doubt about his talent and his ability. Lander Barton has just been so effective and has influenced the game in so many ways and made people around him so much better because of his play, that it's hard to lose that. That's the biggest concern that I have, honestly, is losing Lander Barton for this game. But the defense this year especially has shown the ability to overcome injuries in that, on the defensive side of the ball.
Was Lander Barton out for the Florida game? Do you remember?
No, I don't think so.
He wasn't out for the Florida or the Baylor game. I thought he might have missed a game or was out for a game early in the season, because I remember Lavonnie DeMooney against Baylor. I think he was like the leading tackler, or he was in the hunt to be the leading tackler.
No, Barton's played every game this year.
Yeah, I was just looking at the same thing. He's played in all the games.
Because Lavonnie
DeMooney. But DeMooney had some moments. I remember that. Yeah.
You remember early season.
Oh, yeah, because Carini Reed was out.
The concussion
job,
for Carini
Lloyd.
Reed. Yep. Yes. Thank you, Lloyd. So Lavonnie DeMooney filled in for Carini Reed for parts of the Florida game and then that Baylor game. And he was awesome.
He had 8 tackles against Florida, 9 tackles
there
against Baylor.
There you go. So Lavonnie DeMooney can definitely fill a role and do what you need him to do. It's just, to your point, Scotty, Lander is so big. He's so physical. He's so nasty that he really imposes his will on offenses. But Lavonnie DeMooney can do that to a certain extent. He really can.
Yeah.
So I've got my fingers crossed we could see that same DeMooney that we saw against Florida and Baylor.
That wraps it up for us. Big thanks to everyone helping us out today, as we are just jam-packed today from 9 a.m. to 1:30. And, of course, we'll have the post-game show coming up afterwards. But, Hans, it doesn't get much better than this. This is why the old Bill Parcells line, this is why you lift all those weights in the summer.
I love
for
this.
Games like this.
I love this so much. This is why we do what we do and put so much energy and have so much joy in what we do, is for games like this, weekends like this. Utah versus a very good Oregon team with the opportunity to stay in the Pac-12 championship hunt, with an opportunity to jump up the top 25 boards, with an opportunity to overcome that Oregon State bruise that they took earlier in the season. This puts everything behind them. Then you're getting healthy against Arizona State and looking for that gigantic matchup against Washington. But this is what we all do this for.
And remember, tomorrow morning, bright and early, we'll have the Morning After podcast for you. We'll recap not only this game, we'll recap the BYU-Texas game. So much great football to break down. We'll have it for you tomorrow morning on the Morning After podcast. Coming up next, though, we continue on. It's your extended U pregame show as we are live here at just outside Roland Hall at Guardsman's Way. The whole host of the KSL sports staff is going to be here throughout the course of the day. And remember, it's all brought to you by the Utah FTW 360 app. Download that app right now, the Utah FTW 360 app. And make sure to stop by the broadcast. As you're on your way coming up to the game, we got great swag that we'll be handing out. And can't wait to see you up here. Just again, outside of Roland Hall, 720 Guardsman's Way. We'll be here until 1:30, and then the postgame show immediately following. Frank Dolce, Hans Olsen, I'm Scott Girard. Your U pregame show rolls on next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Getting you ready for the biggest game of the year with the Utes. This is an extended edition of the Ute Pregame Show, presented by the Utah FTW 360 app. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I think he's getting more and more comfortable each week. You know, what you appreciate as a football guy watching him play, the guy plays tough. I mean, he's fighting for hard yards there at the end of the game to put their team in position to win. He took some big hits and got up and kept playing, and he's impressive, you know. And like I said, he's dangerous as a runner. He's done a good job passing the ball. He's gotten more efficient each week. And, you know, they do a great job putting them in position and using his talents.
Welcome back to you extended pregame show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone, and she shows up just in time. Michelle Bodkin sitting down. I also got Stevenson Sylvester hanging out with us. Stevenson, what's up, my man?
What's happening? It's a good Saturday, ain't it?
It's a good Saturday. A little chilly this morning. I know that about that. Michelle's all bundled up. She was up at game day all morning, I think.
Hey, that's 6 a.m. That was daunting.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. We got to get Michelle.
Oh, 5 a.m. Excuse me.
Michelle, yeah, so 5 a.m.
So it was 22 degrees.
Did you have the behind-the-scenes access and everything,
yeah,
right? You had to be there 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Michelle.
Hey, you got to get in early.
Thank you for battling through.
We're frozen, but we were happy to be there. So it was
absolutely
a good time.
Here's the thing. I turned it on this morning. I was getting ready to come up here, and I'm like, wow, what a crowd. Like, what in terms of the fans show out, that was awesome to see. Signs galore. We had a couple of them walking by here.
Oh,
here
yeah,
in Guardsman's Way. I just had an old
the signs
hall
are awesome.
Love for you guys to stop by the way. We got coffee, donuts, we got t-shirts to give away. If you guys want to stop by, do it. 720 Guardsman's Way out here. All right, so Sly, I want to start with you here, obviously. Big game today, and we had David James on earlier with me doing kind of the first hour here, and he talked about the fact he feels like this might be, in a way, an eliminator game in terms of if Utah wins this game, they're on the inside track to make it back to the Pac-12 title game versus Oregon. It feels like one of these two teams has the inside track. What's your thought on that?
Oh, yeah, of course. This game is huge. These next few games are huge for everybody. You know, even Washington, USC, SC. Like, SC's going through it right now. Everybody's ragging on them, but they got one loss in conference.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They are good to go still, and they can make it hard for a lot of people.
Sure.
Right? They still got Oregon and Washington. Mm-hmm. SC's a good team. They haven't played well the last couple weeks, but if they can get out of their own way, they can put up points, and so they can make it dangerous. And then Washington, of course, is just a juggernaut. And Coach Witt said it. Everybody said it since the beginning of the season. There is not going to be an undefeated team in this conference. You know, Washington has a lot of games left. They got to play us. We got to play them. We've already played Oregon State, which was tough. And so, yeah, I think the inside track to not only – this game is not only the inside track to the Pac-12 championship, but the college football playoffs.
And you're right. That's also another good point. It kind of opens that door for you. There's no doubt about that. And that's the interesting part about this. And, Michelle, I want to get your thought on this. Is you were up there, obviously. You were at the Pat McAfee show yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Were you up there for that as well?
I was sort of up there for that. I actually was in the south end zone watching it.
Got
but
it, okay.
Yeah, but yes, I was basically on campus.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I'm listening to Cam Rising. I'm listening to Kyle Whittingham, and you can tell there's this air of confidence for this squad right now. And they've dealt with so many injuries this year, and they've had we're down to like the third and fourth string quarterback in this situation in most people's eyes. But it feels like Utah's feeling fairly good about themselves coming into this matchup, all things considered.
Yeah, I think they're finally feeling good that they have an offensive identity.
Correct.
I think that's been the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they've kind of skated by, mostly on their defense, a little bit with the special teams. But now it feels like they know what they're doing on offense. Mm-hmm. And that seems to have been the missing piece for them. And now you're kind of seeing, again, that kind of confidence, that swagger. Mm-hmm. We'll see how good this newfound offensive identity is.
Sure.
I have some questions still about that. This game could go a long way to answering a lot of those questions. Mm-hmm. But at least they have that confidence. And that's always, I think, step number one.
And that's a good point. And Sly, I want your thought on that. Do you feel like the Utes are feeling fairly good about themselves coming into this, despite all the things kind of going against them so far this year?
I mean, confidence is one thing,
yeah,
but health. Come on now. We started the season with, like,
no
half the roster.
I know, but then Thomas Yaspin, we find out, is Lander Barton last week against USC.
Yeah.
It feels like almost every other day we're hearing from Kyle Whittingham, oh, by the way, guys,
yeah,
another season-ending injury.
Chris Curry's down
during
the bye week.
Yeah.
At practice on a non-contact play. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So it's absolutely insane what's been going on with his Utah team. But it just shows Coach Whittingham, this is something that when I played for him, mm-hmm, that it didn't matter what position or depth you were on the roster, you make it happen.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
When you get in there, you take advantage of your opportunities. And so they've just done a great job of developing depth on this football team, mm-hmm, that we haven't been able to miss a beat. I mean, who would have told we'd be 13? We haven't had our top two starting quarterbacks the entire season. There's been a QB battle between QB 3 and 4 to see who's going to lead this team. You're getting a boatload of injuries throughout the year. You're losing defensive players. All of this left and right. And we would still be vying for an angle into the Pac-12 championship this late in the season. Right, and so I just think that's just been an amazing and something to commend by this coaching staff for what they've been able to do in recruiting, and what this community is able to do to get behind their team.
Well, that's the fun part about it. And Michelle, the Sione Vaki story might be the funnest one of the season because he's the new Matt Asiata, Eric Weddle.
He's the new and improved. He's better than
I'm just saying.
I played with him. And the way he runs
Sly,
that,
all right.
I played with both of those guys. Okay. I talked to Weddle this week about it. But the way Rocky plays it, is it's so versatile, right?
Sure.
Like,
because
you can align him out as a receiver. He's a true offensive player, mm-hmm, as far as, like, Matt Asiata was a true offensive player, but he was just a runner. But, like, I think that Rocky's so dangerous out of the backfield.
He seems to understand.
He definitely has an offensive knack.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Playing on the defensive side of the ball, you understand what defenses are expecting. He has an edge.
Yeah.
And so Vaki has a level up on those guys.
Well, and here's the thing. If Alex Grinch is saying he didn't see a wheel route from
please.
I'm just like, come
please.
On, bro.
Just admit you didn't watch film.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Because we missed it in the Cal game. You had to know we were going to come back to it.
Here's the thing. Did you happen to watch any of the game film from the Cal game?
That was the game before you. Yeah.
That was my question. I was just like, okay, don't say that out loud, sir.
Should not. I mean, any defensive end or anybody in that position, you have to be aware of that situation.
Yeah.
Look at the running back split. Mm-hmm. If he's that wide, there's nobody out there, you're going to get picked.
Yeah.
And you got to go. So get contact on him. Make him bubble out. That's more technical side.
No, but you're right. That's the former player. You know how to defend it.
We're talking about offensive players having pre-snap reads. Defensive player has pre-snap reads as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's giveaways that you can get, and by alignment, offensive players try to align themselves for success. And if you're a defensive player, you'll be like, okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you have the ability to move around pre-snap.
Sure.
You have the leverage if you understand that. And for me as a defense, I would have saw that coming a long time ago.
Yeah, so but the point is it's nice to see guys like Vaki kind of stepping out in a way and being a big part of this. Because let's be honest, like the when you lose two of your top four running backs for the season, Jaquindon Jackson I don't think has been 100% all season long, honestly.
Yeah.
To have Sione Vaki step up in that instance, it's been a huge, huge help for this Utah team, period.
I mean, it's just another example of what they always say, next man up.
Sure.
And sometimes that means next man up is also playing both sides of the ball.
Yeah. Like, no, that goes back to the more you can do. That was the statement. The more you can do. That was another thing. So it's the next man up, but also the more you can do for this football team, the better we are.
But I think the crazy thing about Vaki is everybody keeps talking about him like he's a defensive player. He's a defensive player. Well, no, he was really actually more of an offensive player in high school. Utah just wanted him as a defensive player.
It's the Kyle Whittingham. It's his favorite
thing. He's a defensive guy. He's going to want the most talented guys.
He takes the most talented guys, and they end up on one side of the football.
But so it's everybody's like, oh, this is such a surprise. He plays offense. And it's like, no. He totally played offense. Yeah, he kind of was learning defense.
Well, it's the Chase Hansen model. Chase Hansen was this phenomenal quarterback at Lone Peak High School. And guess what? Kyle Williams said, you know what I could do with him? He's going to be an all-conference, all-American linebacker for me. Let's do this thing.
So, I mean, you could go back to tape from I'm just saying.
All
the players within Coach Whittingham's years and done that, right?
You got
Paul Kruger.
Yes.
You got Steve Tate.
I played against Paul, actually, funny enough, in high school.
Right.
And he was a phenomenal quarterback.
Right.
But he ends up as this all-conference, all-American defensive end at Utah.
Sean Smith was a running back, receiver, now the corner in the league, crazy. There's been so many people that they've converted over, but, you know, talking to Coach Witt about that, he's just like, yeah, you just see their potential in that, and you just put them in the best places to succeed.
Well, it's a talent evaluation thing.
Yes.
They've got it down. That's the nice part.
Though, I think this one feels like the one that they maybe got wrong.
Oh, well...
Wrong-ish.
No. Because Vaki's been a great defensive player.
Oh, he's been great, but he's been so explosive on offense.
That's because we're so bleak on offense that he's just making it look that much better.
He's making it – okay, all right.
But what I'm saying is great. We needed this spark on offense. But
totally.
Coach Witt's taking credit for moving him back to the offensive side. He told me, he's like, that was my idea, by the way. Make sure everybody knows.
That's all me.
I told him, let's try Sione out on offense. So he definitely wants his credit. For moving that.
Yeah, it's one of those crazy things. But going back to the original point, it's just been nice to – Utah, as you mentioned, has found ways to get it done here. Now, looking at today's game in particular, this is an Oregon team, and Sly, I'll get your thought on this. They're averaging 550 yards on offense, if not more than that. And it's as Kyle Whittingham pointed out on Monday, it's very balanced. 300-plus passing, 200-plus rushing. They do get it on both sides of the football. So, and DJ mentioned this earlier when I had him on. He feels like this is a more cohesive team, speaking of Oregon, than USC, so it's going to take that much more from Utah to get the job done. But what is your thought? Can Utah slow down this Oregon offense in your mind?
I mean, they have to.
But good point.
Yes, but yes, I do think that they can. One, I watched this tape and I'm just like, they don't miss.
Yeah,
they don't miss. But there are windows of opportunity, and so the things is with today is we're gonna. I hate to say this, but you gotta play perfect.
I agree.
You have to play perfect because the windows of opportunity are going to be small, but they're going to be there. They're going to be there to make opportunities for turnovers. I know Bo Nix only has one interception on the season.
Sure.
But when we get to the quarterback, because we'll be able to get by this offensive line, because, one, I don't think that their running backs are good in pass protection.
I agree.
They are absolutely horrible. So when we bring that extra defender or we bring that false blitz to where they don't know where the blitz is coming, we're going to have opportunities on the running back. Mm-hmm. And when you get that, you got to win for one. And then when you get around the quarterback, you got to swipe at that ball. Mm-hmm. But one thing, Bo Nix, he doesn't miss. And I know that Troy Franklin is the number one receiver over there, but he spreads that ball around.
He does.
Bo Nix is absolutely incredible in his pre-snap reads. Well, that's a good thing because you play 56 starts in the NCAA. You've seen a lot.
You got 56 career starts on one side, and then in Bryson Barnes' case, he's got five.
Right, so. He's 5-0, baby.
But, yeah, he is undefeated. So that's the good news if you're a Utah fan is, yeah, he doesn't have necessarily the biggest sample size, but he's won every one he started so far. And that's what you got to kind of lean into on this. Now, Michelle, I'll get your thought on this. Now, Utah's offense, we said they've been finding a way. Do you feel like this is – and it's kind of the whole thing. It's the whole Kyle Whittingham classic in a way. This is run the football, take care of the football, and just grind this out. Is that what you're expecting from today's matchup?
Yeah. I mean, I think – their formula this year really is kind of keep away more than anything else. And they'll have their explosive moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bryson Barnes to Sione Vaki, like the third play in last week against USC. Yeah. You know, they have the ability to do that on occasion. I don't think they have the ability to do that consistently the way that we've seen in the past with like Cam Rising.
Sure.
But you know, get them on their heels a couple of times, you know, let them know that you're here and for real. And we will gain big chunks on you, big explosive plays on you. But I think for the most part, ground and pound it and try and make sure that Bo Nix and that offense don't have the opportunity to really have the ball.
You got to dictate the terms of this game.
I disagree.
Oh, okay.
I do. Their defensive line in front seven is doing a very good job against the run.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have to – think about that because, one, what Michelle said is what everybody's already thinking.
Correct.
And I'm guaranteeing the defensive coordinator over there at Oregon is thinking the exact same thing. Use that to your
advantage.
He's going
to load the box.
Load the box, throw some play action, get some rollouts, get some people moving to where you can throw back across the middle to a crossing route. But I think the intermediate game today is going to be on point. Right? Because, one, we have receivers to go off and blow the top off, which I think you're going to have to take shots during the game. Right?
You got to loosen it up.
You got to loosen them up that way. Yeah. But the intermediate game, I think Devon Vele is going to have a monster game.
I was
going to
say, is this Vele's?
This, like, Mikey.
Mikey Matthews.
He's all these M's. This is Mikey Matthews' day right here. Okay. But I think that Devon Vele, because Bryson Barnes is throwing that kind of sit-down route, that 12 to 15-yard sit-down route to dig route. It's almost like an option, right? He sits in that, depending on where the defender is. He's either going to go in or he's going to sit in that hole.
But
I think that route's going to be money today, so look for that, Money Parks. but also, I just think that the way that Mikey Matthews works the slot, it's also going to be huge.
Okay.
So I think the intermediate passing game is going to be of utmost importance if Andy Ludwig calls some intermediate passes. That's what I'm hoping. But I think that everybody's going to be banking on Utah having to rely on the running game and keep the ball out of Bo Nix's hands, and you're got to be aggressive.
All right, we will continue to get some more of your thoughts, Sly, before we release you to go over to your pregame duties, obviously. Michelle will continue on with us as well. This is your extended Ute pregame show right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Stick with us.
Counting you down to kickoff, this is an extended edition of the Utah-Oregon pregame show presented by the Utah FTW 360 app. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
He's a tremendous player, but the thing I like about him most is his competitiveness and his leadership. I saw him play one game at Auburn. I was watching an SEC game, was it 3 years ago, I guess now, and saw this guy. I thought, who is that guy? You know, he's just making plays and just absolutely the field general of the team. It was him, and I've had a strong opinion of how good he is for several years. To me, that's it, is the way he just leads and competes every week.
Welcome back to your extended U pregame show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. It's all brought to you by our friends over at the Utah FTW 360 app. Follow For the Win 360 on Instagram and download the Utah FTW 360 app this morning during our U pregame show for your chance to win a signed Utah football. Swing by our broadcast here on Guardsman Way. Shows you follow For the Win 360 on Instagram and download the app. And you're going to score additional swag. Got some really, really cool shirts. Love to hook you guys up with. I'm Jay Catch, joined by Sly Stevenson Sylvester, and obviously Michelle Bodkin. And Sly, as we look towards this game, Utah has got a nice streak going here at home, and obviously they'd like to keep that intact. If I'm not mistaken, it's 29 of the last 30 as well, so they don't lose at Rice-Eccles very often, and it's a rarity when it does happen. But this is an Oregon team that is almost a different caliber of an opponent for Utah that they have not seen this season, in my mind. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're saying this every week, right?
Sure,
you know,
as
we're going through the Pac-12, our schedule gets harder.
It's leveling up.
Yeah. But Oregon, I watching film, for me, when I watch film, I was like, okay, where's my opportunity?
Got it, okay.
Where's my holes?
Yeah.
I can't find it with this team. This team is really good. As Coach Whittingham said, even when Bo Nix was back at Auburn, he was a dynamic freaking player.
He was, yeah.
And of course, 56 starts, you got to be. I think that as I said, his pre-snap reads is one of the most impressive things that I see on film. He finds that window and where to throw the ball really early.
Sure.
That plays great for us because we have great pre-snap defense, right? We show a different look than we're actually showing.
Yeah.
I absolutely love how Morgan Scali and Sharif Shah has tagged this secondary with being able to shift their looks whenever they want to, but just make sure that they don't lose their responsibilities. And so this is going to be a tough offense to go. I mean, Bucky Irving, been a fan of his since last year. He is extremely talented. You saw last week at Washington State with his two touchdowns. That guy, when he gets in space, he can make a quick cut. Very Sione Vaki-like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
I agree.
On the offensive side of the ball, catch the ball out of backfield. He's going to be somebody that we have to really harness Furnace today. So that's the game for me. Okay. Oregon's offense, all Utah's right. defense. We figure that out and get an edge, get a couple turnovers. I'm telling you, we're going to need a couple turnovers. That's going to be the deciding factor. Even if we're winning going into fourth quarter, you got to tell yourself, we need those turnovers. We mm-hmm. need those turnovers. And definitely if that fourth quarter, if we're able to pin our ears back and Oregon's not able to run the football, we can eliminate that and just get after him. That's when Utah wins.
Now, Michelle, you hear Sly talk about that. They need to get turnovers. It feels like the defensive line, Jonah Ellis in particular, is going to really need to get Bo Nix off of his spots. Because if he sits back there, I'm terrified. I don't care how good of a secondary you got. If he's sitting back there and feeling comfortable in that pocket, it's going to be a long, long day for Utah.
Yeah, Utah's going to need to bring the pressure. That means Jonah Ellis is going to have to be on his game. Van Fillinger, who had a really good game week before, needs to bring that. Connor O'Toole feels like he's kind of getting back into the groove and the swing of things. They're going to need all those guys to get after them because, you can't give a guy like that time, and you can't leave a guy like Bucky Irving unchecked.
You know what I hate about that statement now?
What's that?
Getting the quarterback off the spot. It's not the same anymore.
You're right.
It's not the same because we played Caleb Williams last week, and I'm like, don't get him off his spot.
Yeah.
Because that's when he's better.
Yes. You're right.
And I just
point.
Seen his throw. I was watching film last night. It was like freaking 2 a.m.
2 a.m.?
I was watching
Did
film last night.
Did you sleep at all last night?
No, not at all. I'm so excited for today. But, like, I'm seeing his throw, and he's literally – drifting back and throws a pinpoint fade route on the other side of Troy Fling, and I'm just like,
maybe you do want him to.
But my thing is, no, we got to corral him. It's got to be – so we do this thing games on the defensive side of the ball, right? Yeah. That means just, you know, cross
twists, stunts,
and stunts. Yeah. And what we do that I really love is we literally look like the pressure's all coming off of one side, and really that guy is just running a loop. So he's running 12 yards deep. He's looking like he doesn't have any chance, and the quarterback's like, oh, that side is open. Let me run that way, when in actuality,
he's showing up
I'm
right.
coming.
Yeah.
And those type of things are what's going to have to work because those are unconventional. Those are things that quarterbacks can't really, like, I can see that pre-snap. You can't see that pre-snap. That is something in the moment you're going to have to do. But I think the pressure from the inside, from our defensive tackles, and making him get off the spot that way to where he's on his back legs, those throws will be a lot harder for him to make, and I think Cole Bishop and Sione can run under it.
Well, I guess that's a very good point, is you need to make him feel uncomfortable.
Yes, uncomfortable, yes. Yeah. Yes. That's more than get him off his spot. He needs to be very uncomfortable.
He's got to be, use the term you didn't notice in the NFL, seeing ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to get him convinced that there is somebody there that's
not. That's what I was good at, man. You hit him, and then you say something in their ear. I'm not going to say that on air. You say something in their ear, and then they're thinking about that the next play.
Sure.
Because on the defensive side of the ball, as I said, you can roam. You can move. Yeah. I say stuff to the quarterback as he's going through his cadence. Oh, yeah, I was.
Every defensive player does that because the whole idea is to get them unnerve them.
You
got to get them.
Seeing ghosts is a great term. Yeah. But I forgot we used that.
But it's part of the whole calculus here.
Yes.
When you have a quarterback who is, like you mentioned, 56 career starts, he's seen a ton of looks. He's probably seen every look you can possibly throw out there at him. The only thing you can do is always you got to beat your guys one on one. Jonah Ellis has got to come off the edge. You mentioned the defensive tackles. You got to have Junior Tafuna. You got to have Keanu Tanavasa. Samote Pepa. They've got to come up the middle and make sure that there are no lanes up the gut, because the one thing I've seen from Bo Nix from my time watching him is he's a guy who will step up in the pocket. If that opens up at all, he'll run right up the middle on you.
And you got to make it. And seeing ghosts is if he's running up the middle, he's like, oh crap, somebody's behind me.
Then
he's going to look. And then next, you know, somebody's hitting from the side. So yes, he's got to be able to see it all, and you got to be in it. And this was the biggest thing that I love about football is as physical as football is, the game is 85 to 90% mental.
Sure, yeah.
And that's a part of it. That's a part of the chess match is you getting into people's heads and not making them do the responsibilities that you know they know what to do.
Yeah.
And it is the chess match. Absolutely love it.
Well, and it's a head game.
It is.
And I've talked with enough people in my time doing radio and like people like yourself who say that, okay, here's the thing. Football, there's 80 to 100 plays in every game that it's pretty simple. The next 5 to 10, though, really are where the game gets decided. And the whole thing is that mental aspect in those moments. Who is more mentally aware? Who's on point? Those are the players that make the plays.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, man. That's coming into this game, and when we get those windows of opportunity, we have to take advantage of them.
That should be interesting. All right, we will continue on here. We are live outside of Roland Hall here on Guardsman Way. Love for you guys to stop by. We got coffee. We got donuts. Got some T-shirts as well if you guys want to stop by and pick those up. 720 Guardsman Way. We'll continue on with more Extended U pregame show. Sly, thanks for stopping by the way. It's good to see you as always.
Appreciate it,
Me and Michelle will continue on next. Patrick Kinahan is supposed to join us at some point here in the 11 o'clock hour as well, right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.